I know you may have this lesson from class studies and other things, but I'm going to use this as an introduction lesson, a little review, to give a series of lessons on prayer. And so that's where this lesson comes from. And we usually title it, or many people title it, as the Lord's Prayer. But usually we think of it, or at least I do, in my instruction. It's a model or a sample. Instructional prayer. It's a pattern, a formula, if you will, or an outline on how to pray. In the way of introduction, read both of them because they're different. When Matthew and Luke records it, and that's part of the comments. But in Matthew 6, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Luke records it. He said to them, "When you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." That's it. Many times when people enter our assembly, sometimes they will ask, if they're not familiar with us, why don't you recite the Lord's Prayer? They see that as something that's missing in our assembly, our devotion, our worship. So I've just given you some reasons why we don't recite this prayer in unison. Number one, usually I always boil things down to either command or example. You know, we don't have those two things, and that's numbers one and two here. First of all, no command to do it in unison, meaning chorally, in the New Testament. In fact, Matthew and Luke are the only ones that record this. Instructional prayer, model prayer. It's absent everywhere in the letters to the churches. If it was intended to be repeated, the rationale or the thinking is instruction would have been given for its use, but we don't have that. So no command for us to repeat this prayer. Congregational style. Second, no example. Not by Jesus or the apostles or the New Testament church doing it. You know, Jesus, we summarize, gave us this prayer as a pattern in response to the disciples' request. Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. If it played a significant part in the New Testament church, my conclusion is it would have been noted in the New Testament letters. But it's not. So just by its absence. Number three, if the intent was to repeat the prayer verbatim, meaning again in a choral fashion or in unison, then why do Matthew and Luke differ in their account? If we tried to do it in unison, we would all have to be taught either Matthew's account or Luke's. Because what if we said, okay, I'm going to lead us in this prayer that Jesus gave or taught to his disciples, and one half of us memorize it from Matthew, the other half from Luke, there would be confusion in his recitation. Because we all memorize, or people memorized it differently. I know today's religious people place a great emphasis on its recitation. But which text of prayer is correct? Why no more mention of it in the New Testament? It's not referred to. Think about in Paul's letters of saying, remember the Lord's Prayer. No, it's not there. It doesn't say it. Number four, the Bible does not call it the Lord's Prayer. Gives no significance other than this response to or from Jesus to the disciples' request. So again, by the words, you know, where's the command or the example, there's no command or hint that this prayer should be recited verbatim. The Apostle Paul prays for brethren in his letters to the churches. He even requests prayers. He says he's praying for them. Is he repeating this instructional prayer? Paul never refers to this prayer. He doesn't request others to say it for him on his behalf. Number five, it leaves out other instructions concerning prayer. And for example, we always close in Jesus' name. You could say that phrase at the beginning of the prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, we come before you, or in Jesus' name, we approach you in prayer. You don't have to wait till the end of the prayer to say in Jesus' name. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And I think that would include even in our prayers. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, you're familiar with. There's one God, one mediator between God and man, or men, the man Christ Jesus. So this instructional prayer leaves out other instructions about prayer that's given in the letter. You know, Paul says to pray for others. And praying for others is not in this prayer. You know, in 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, pray for kings or those that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. But Jesus doesn't say anything about praying for others in this in his instructions here. In Colossians 3, verse 17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him. So we want to give thanks in our prayer, and we do it to God by him. Number six, in this instructional prayer, or pattern prayer, formula if you will, he said, after this manner, he didn't say, I want you to say this prayer in these exact words. Some people interpret it after this manner as the phrase in these exact words. But we are encouraged in Paul's letters and by Jesus to develop a prayer life or a conversation with God. Even in Jesus' prayer in John 17, why didn't he repeat this prayer that he gave to the disciples? But there's 26 verses in John 17 of Jesus' prayer. James chapter 5 verse 13 says, Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is he to pray? I'm in affliction. Should I pray this model prayer? I'm afflicted. It doesn't say anything about afflictions in the prayer. I want to make my request to God for relief. James says, confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another. So let's not in unison repeat this model prayer. It's not exalted above any other prayers that are listed or mentioned in the New Testament. Nothing puts this prayer above them at all. Number seven, the phrase, thy kingdom come, I use the word obsolete, or just really not valid. Now, during Jesus' earthly ministry, the kingdom was not in existence. So I listed all those kingdom coming verses for you. Mark 1:15, Jesus said, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Hasn't come yet. He's preaching that. The kingdom of God is at hand. Matthew, John the Baptist saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Hadn't come yet. Matthew 4:17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. At hand. In Matthew 12, verse 7, speaking to the 12, says, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Kingdom hasn't come yet. So he's praying in this model prayer, pray thy kingdom come. Because that's what John the Baptist preached, that's what Jesus himself preached. Thy kingdom come. In Mark 9, verse 1, Jesus said, verily I say to you, there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God come. So the kingdom came during the lifetime of some of those that heard Jesus preach or teach. So now the kingdom, the church is here. Therefore, we don't need to pray, thy kingdom come. Now, some will make the interpretation or the explanation, oh, when I say that phrase, I mean I want thy heaven to come. You know, meaning the end of time after Judgment Day when heaven's real. So that's their explanation. But then in number 8, this is not the only recorded prayer of Jesus. So why label this one the Lord's Prayer? So in your notes, and I'm going to read all these, you have them there. I put the gist of the prayers in your notes. But many times Jesus prayed. Having been baptized, he prayed right after his baptism. In the deserts, prayed. Continued in before he chose the 12. He was all night in prayer. In Mark 6:41, when the 5 loaves and fishes, he prayed. And before announcing his death, in Luke 9, verse 18, he was praying. Exact phrase from the verse. On the Mount of Transfiguration, as he was in Luke 9, 29, as he was praying, before he taught his disciples to pray, in Luke 11, this model prayer, he was praying. Came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he had ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. So they saw something in the life of Jesus. Not only they saw his miracles, they heard his teaching, and they saw his lifestyle, but his prayer life evidently had an impact on them so much. Lord, teach us to pray. There's something about his prayer life. In the upper room before the crucifixion in John 17, like I say, 26 verses. Lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. And then for the next 25 verses is his prayer. And I wonder, why isn't John 17 the Lord's Prayer? He's praying. We have 26 or 25 verses of his exact words. Before he handed the bread to the disciples instituting his supper, he gave thanks. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he kneeled down and prayed, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Why isn't that the Lord's Prayer? On the cross, Father, forgive them. Why isn't that called the Lord's Prayer? So many times Jesus prayed. So my question is to those that would single this prayer out, why would you do that? Why? So now let's just, in closing here, look at the form of prayer. Because I've had people ask, you know, and maybe some of my parents might say, how would I begin to teach my children to pray, or grandchildren? What would I do instruction-wise? If I gave you a sample to pray, that wouldn't be Brian's prayer, necessarily. My heart's desire. And then this is how I'm teaching you to pray. First thing I would ask you to do is be sure you address God. Father in heaven. Our Father which art in heaven. That's what Jesus did when he gave them instructions. So address the one to whom you're talking. God and Father in heaven. When we teach our children, usually it's in those early years, you know, it's now I lay me down to sleep. Which is okay. But we want to progress from that. That's a start. The other one, before we eat, you know, God is great, God is good, now we thank him for our food. I think poems have to rhyme. You know, I messed up in high school in English literature. Beowulf, it doesn't rhyme. It has to rhyme. God is great, God is good, now we thank him for our food. See? It has to rhyme. So, but we don't bow down or pray to Mary or to any patron saint or angels or images. In the newspaper, in the classifieds, I don't know if you ever noticed this, but there's a section called, after public notices, religious announcements. You seen it? I gotta get it in my bifold because it's really small print. So it's Sacred Heart of Jesus. May the Sacred Heart of Jesus be adored, glorified, loved, now and forever. Sacred Heart of Jesus, pray for us. Saint Jude, worker of miracles, pray for us. Saint Jude, help of the hopeless, pray for us. And then it says, say this prayer 9 times a day, and by the 8th day, you will be answered. It's never been known to fail. Send your contributions to On the 10th day, send your contributions. No, it doesn't say that. And then it's repeated a second time. But we don't do that. You know, when Jesus warned against vain repetition, somebody said, what's a vain repetition? Because sometimes we pray, and I use the same phrases many times over and over again, from one day to the next or the next Sunday in leading prayer. But that's not a vain repetition. What makes a vain repetition is because you're praying this same phrase over and over again just for the sake of the numbers. And so when they give that rosary, and the beads, you say, well, that helps you keep count. So you slide that bead over. So it's Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord be with thee. You know, blessed be the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our need. Slide the bead over.
Yeah.
Start it again. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord be with thee. So on. I don't know why I know that, but that's why I know the rosary. But you've heard it enough times.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I remember the silver medicine.
So it's to God, the Father in heaven. Next, you'll give some time for adoration. Hallowed be thy name. So in your prayer, our Father which art in heaven, you're a wonderful God. Appreciate the influence in my life. Just the adoration to God, a few sentences if you want to do that. You know, take a moment to praise God. Think about his attributes, his holiness, ever-present help, loving kindness, amazing grace. You say, God, I appreciate you. Number three is you can give thanks. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3, we're bound to thank God always. And so it might be a time for thanksgiving in prayer. Count your blessings. Thank you, God, for this. Number four is ask. That's what Jesus did in this instruction. Give us this day our daily bread. God, I need you again today. It's an attitude that shows our dependence upon God. So when you teach someone to pray, it's like writing a letter. Address someone. Let me tell you how wonderful you are. Thank you for who you are. I need this for a safe journey. I need your help in making this decision. God, help me. Ask. Confessing. We even confess your trespasses. Forgive others. God, forgive us as we forgive others the debts. And so there's a time when we usually end our prayers that way. And forgive us of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're mindful of our frailties. So you say that. But in submission, we've heard people lead in prayers, nevertheless, your will be done. And we pray that as we present ourselves before you, we pray that we've done all things according to your will. So there's a submission attitude in prayer. And then we close in Jesus' name. As we said, there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So we can memorize prayers for our children to get them started. But we want to grow into a conversation with God. A walk and a talk. Just as we do with friends. When we first meet someone, we may not know them, so there's the typical questions. Do you live, like the visitor this morning, do you live here? Are you visiting? Where are you from? But if we get to, I don't keep asking Jim that, or Don, every time we meet, how long have you been here? Is this your first time visiting with us? No, we move on. To be beyond those initial new questions. And so we begin our conversations over and over again. Someone else asked, when they saw this thing, do you have to use all these items in a single prayer? No. No. That'll be our lesson if we meet again next week, Lord willing. I'll talk about kinds of prayer and prayers that meet specific needs. And so we don't have to include all of these things in prayer. If someone responds, I don't confess my own sins. They've confessed theirs. I'm praying for their forgiveness. Father, you've heard specifically. You've heard the forgiveness of this one that's responded this morning. And we pray, we thank you for forgiving her or him. And now help us to be an encouragement to them as they present themselves before you. In Jesus' name, amen. I didn't mention the weather. I didn't count my blessings. I didn't pray for the sick and the afflicted. Are all those in whom it's our duty to pray for? I prayed. That was specific right there. So we'll talk about those kinds of specific prayers. You don't need to include all seven things that we have listed here in that one prayer. When Peter walked on the water, he simply said, Lord, save me. If he'd have prayed a long time, he would have drowned. He got right to the heart of the matter. Lord, save me. Yeah, that's what I need at the moment. So we'll talk about kinds of prayer, like I say, next Sunday, Lord willing. All right, that's the lesson for tonight. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement. But I believe everyone here is a member of the New Testament Church, so we'll go ahead and sing our song just for our friendship and our fellowship together, our praise to God. But at the close, we'll certainly ask if there's any prayer requests that we want to have specifically.
So that's why at the close of a lesson, you know, let's stand together and sing a song of invitation, a song of exhortation. And we're pleading and praying. And once you've heard that good news gospel message and you believe it, you're willing to turn your life around God's side. You're willing to confess your faith before witnesses that are gathered here. You can be baptized. Then rise to walk in newness of life. Now you're in the family of God. Forgiven of sins. Hope you have the hope of heaven within. Other blessings on that one action. And then we grow. So that's the invitation. If you're subject to it, if you haven't accomplished that, you want to ask brethren for strength or encouragement, step aside me, and at the end of the song, I'll just ask you for something.